Good morning. Our Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. And we continue the Christmas story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Praise be to God. How was your Christmas? I hope, looking back 2 days on, that you're looking back with pleasure and joy at a time of real celebration, and hopefully you were able to capture something of the real meaning of Christmas on Christmas Day. I've called this talk, "I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day," and of course that's inspired by the Wizard song of the same name. And I chose that because it was the first Christmas song I heard on the radio this year, on November the 30th to be precise, painting that idyllic picture. The kids singing, the band begins to play, the bells are ringing, the snowmen, ice, skating, cozying up by the fire. All those idyllic images that have come to be associated somehow with our concept of Christmas. But would we really want it to be Christmas every day? Christmas is special, of course, in so many ways, although perhaps it has been different for many this year. As Christians, of course, we look forward to celebrating Christ's birthday throughout Advent. We look forward to that celebration, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And there are some things about Christmas that are really wonderful. The sense of joy, the sense of pleasure of giving, that sense of goodwill, being kind to others, acts of kindness, being helpful. And there's that transformational nature of Christmas that we see in literature like Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is transformed by the Christmas spirit. Or perhaps we think of that very poignant moment during the First World War in the trenches, where on Christmas Day the fighting stopped and the two sides played football in no man's land. Only, of course, for the guns to start firing and the shells to start being projected the following day. Oh, how we wish that people could hold on to that peace, the peace of Christmas Day, and see the futility of war and fighting. Maybe there's things about Christmas that you're not so keen on seeing every day of the year. Are you still having turkey? Does it go on forever in your household? There's some people I know who would be very happy not to see Brussels sprouts for another 12 months. Or maybe it's all those Christmas specials on the television. Or being expected to be happy all the time. Or maybe just the overindulgence, too much of everything. In some years, people complain about too much family. Maybe not this year when it's been so difficult for families to be together and to meet together. Although, whatever the rules are at Christmas, I'm sure that there will be some family members who feel disappointed because they've not been able to have the contact and the closeness that they would want with their loved ones. There's something about this idyllic Christmas, isn't there, that we've built up in our minds. We should be wiser by now, and yet we still buy into this idyllic fantasy, which is perhaps long gone and perhaps was never existent, of Christmas to reappear. Great expectations. In that wonderful carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, we read that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So much is expected. We expect so much of Christmas, and sometimes it feels like it can't really deliver. Perhaps for you, Christmas has been a disappointment this year. Maybe the turkey didn't cook, or the new present was wrong, or the child's toy was broken. As I say that, I still remember 60 years ago being bought an electric car racing set for Christmas, and my granddad was staying with us, and he was an electrician. Unfortunately, he wired up the racing set incorrectly, AC instead of DC or something like that, and all there was smoke coming out of the little toy cars rather than being able to have a really great game. And it was days until they could be replaced. Much worse can happen, of course. This Christmas, there will be many people who felt alone and lonely and isolated, cut off from their families, cut off from human contact. There will be many who have been disappointed because the rules haven't allowed them to be with the people that they love. And there will be some relationships that have been difficult, with all the expectations and tensions around making everything perfect. The discovery that perfection is actually quite difficult. Yes, Christmas doesn't always deliver exactly what we want. And so for many of us, to have those expectations every day of the year would be pretty tough. I wish it could be Christmas every day. Well, or maybe not. Because in a way, we can't stay there in the stable. Tempting though it is to join the multitudes singing Alleluia, peace on earth, goodwill to men, to celebrate. We can't stay there. We have to move on. It's just a station on the way. Jesus can't just be a baby in the manger if he's going to show us the way to live, the way in which he's going to save us all, to fulfill his purpose. Life has to go on. And there will be dangers to be confronted on the way. We read how the wise men came. Again, great celebration and joy, the gifts, the wonder. And yet, immediately afterwards, there's that realization of the danger. They went home by another way, but Joseph was warned in a dream of the danger that the baby Jesus faced from King Herod. And so they had to flee overnight to Egypt, to the community of Jews living in Egypt, becoming a refugee, having to leave home, family, friends for the safety of the baby. And so Jesus and his family became refugees to escape the anger of Herod, the tyrant king, the king who felt threatened and insecure that there might be a real king of the Jews to challenge him and his title that the Romans had given to him. Herod, of course, is an interesting character. He often provides what seems like the comic relief in nativity plays, but of course, there was much more that was evil about him that we should be aware of. And he obviously posed a real threat to Jesus and his family. What sort of man was Herod the Great? Well, history tells us that he killed at least three of his sons. He killed one of his wives, 10 wives, I believe. And he was so insecure and uncertain about himself that when he was ill and approaching death, he had imprisoned in the hippodrome in Jericho that he'd built many of the notables of the Jewish people. And his plan was that on his death, those people imprisoned there would also be killed. And the reason for that was that he was worried that when he died, there would be no mourning among the Jews for him. So he thought if these popular people were killed at the same time, that mourning would somehow then encompass his death too. And so there would be mourning at his death. As it happened, that plan was thwarted. But that's the sort of man that he was. He had a number of Jews cruelly executed when they tore down a golden eagle that he had erected at the entrance to the temple. The golden eagle, the symbol of Rome. And of course, Herod owed his position to the Romans and needed to keep him with them. And so it's not at all out of character that he might have had put to death all the boys under 2 in the area around Bethlehem. There are disputes as to how many children that might have involved, and some scholars suggest it might be maybe 20 or 30. Bethlehem was a small town, whereas others put the number much, much higher than that. It doesn't matter in a way. He was a man who was so insecure about his own position, holding on to his own position, that he would do anything to retain his power. I guess it's hard in these democratic days to think of any of our leaders across the world who would hold on to power in the same sort of way. Or maybe you can think of some who want power so desperately. It runs through history, doesn't it? But the flame cannot be extinguished. The light keeps. keeps shining. And I was reminded of this recently when I watched a TV program made by Robert Rinder, where the descendants of people who'd been involved in the Holocaust in the Second World War explored the stories of their relatives. And there was one story that stuck in my mind of two sisters, two Jewish girls, and they managed to escape, travel from northern France, which was occupied by the Germans, of course, to the more southern area of France that was controlled by the Vichy French, where life was a bit easier for a while for Jewish people. But then as the war continued, things became tighter and there were regular visits to the small town where they were living by the Gestapo. And of course, when that happened, they needed to hide. They were in great danger that all Jewish people then in that town were being rounded up and sent, of course, to the concentration camps. And what they discovered, the children of one of these young girls, that they'd been taken in whenever there was that raid by the Gestapo to find the Jewish people in the town. The little girls were taken by a local farmer and hidden in a shed where he kept animals. And of course, in doing that, he was putting himself in great danger too. And this, the daughter of the one of the girls, now grown up, of course, met the son of the farmer who'd done that. And it was just so touching to see how that act of kindness and love just shone through and to save the life of that young girl. Of course, many, many, many thousands more weren't so fortunate. But in the midst of that evil, there are still good people. And this is true across the world, across generations. That in the midst of all that is bad and wrong, we see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in the goodness that can be found in the human spirit. Oh, how we need more of that light to shine through. But there is that light still in the darkness today. And so we see that we cannot remain in the stable celebrating with the multitude of angels. We have to move on. We have to face life's difficulties and circumstances. And in doing that, we will face dangers. We will encounter evil. The forces of evil around us and too often deep within us. And we have to look to Jesus to find the light, the truth that can burn in the darkness. Matthew, in the account that we read, is at great pains to show us how the events that we've been talking about fulfilled various prophecies. How Jesus' coming was a fulfillment of Scripture. It's interesting, isn't it, that in a way, conventionally you might think that there in the stable with the angels and this wonderful happening and people recognizing here is the Messiah, here is the King of Jews, those wise men from the East recognizing this. But somehow that would be the climax. Yes, it's the second coming, it's happened, it's here, it's now, the Messiah is here. But no, it wasn't like that. In a sense, there was an anticlimax. Everybody went back. The wise men went back to the east, and whatever they did, the shepherds went back to their sheep. Life went on. Joseph and Mary and Jesus went to Egypt, and then back to, or came eventually to Nazareth, following more words from God. It was to be 30 years or so before the climax arrived, before that key point in history, before all the pieces came together. They didn't somehow all come together in that stable at Bethlehem. They came together in the life and work of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary and Gethsemane. And so the stable was a step, a necessary step, on the way to the complete fulfillment of the Messiah's coming in his death and resurrection. When all the symbols of Christmas are stripped away, the cross remains. We rejoice that God came into the world, that he came as a tiny baby. But our symbol is not the manger. It's the cross, where he laid down his life for each one of us, to set us free from the power of evil and wrongdoing, to make us whole. Yes, we pause a while to worship and adore the baby Jesus, but we remain in wonder and awe at the foot of the cross. In Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, we read, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes." Yes, even as an infant, the Lord Jesus was rejected, became a refugee to escape from the tyrant's king. And yet, he became our Lord, our Saviour. How wonderful that is. Do we wish it was Christmas every day? Well, not if it means that we can't reach Easter. Amen.